Hello, God.
Hello, Michael.
This is Star Trek 5, right?
I saw what you were doing last night.
Oh, God, I hope you didn't.
We need to talk about
Yeah. So, how are you
Hello?
doing?
Pretty good. How are you, stranger?
I am well. I can't believe we're actually talking.
I know, it's
It's been
been
what, like 3 months or 2 months?
2 months at least. At
Yeah, it seems
least.
like a long time.
Yeah, I heard you talking to Bill about it, about how we haven't recorded in a while.
Yeah. So how's everything been?
I'm pretty good. It's been pretty normal, just working, eating dirt.
Yeah. That they're still working out for you.
Yeah, pretty good. I'm pretty
Yeah.
regular. So I
You
got,
almost ready for Heroes?
yeah, I'm getting excited. It's almost a month away.
Yeah, it's close.
I'll get to meet some people I still haven't met yet that weren't at Baltimore last year.
Bomer?
Yeah. And then if Keith goes.
Yeah, that's hit or miss. My confidence isn't high.
Yeah. He did post that he was going the other day, that he got tickets or something.
We should
But
work the angle through Michelle is what we need to do. Michelle, can you
yeah.
please make sure Keith goes? And then she'll feel guilty if he doesn't.
There you go.
There.
That sounds like a good plan. But yeah, Bill and I'll be meeting, and I think we might be sharing a room actually. So
Oh yeah, a bunch
we'll.
of vegans killing fish.
Yep.
Fish killers in the same
Yeah.
room.
So that actually makes us, I think, pescatarians.
Yeah.
Think that's what it's called when you eat fish.
Fish killers is the other word.
We're gonna put we'll have a sign on the door, "Death to the fishes."
Death to the fish. That'll be good. You'll save money half of the hotel cost.
Yeah, it'll help.
Yeah, it'll help you buy more shit or eat
Yeah.
more, whatever you plan on doing.
Yeah, spend more money on
Drink
food.
more alcohol
Beer.
beverages.
So
If
that'd be
Keith is
good.
there, you'll probably go into debt.
Yeah. Yeah, if I try to keep up with his badges.
Yeah. It's like a video game to him. He's got to beat you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whenever he's not playing Candy Crush.
Yeah,
He can't get me in on that, though. I refuse to play Candy Crush.
he try?
Not recently, but I've gotten. I don't think I've gotten any invites from him recently. I got like three from Ken Jr., though. I was like, stop sending me. And then I realized I could ignore invites.
Yeah.
So I haven't gotten any since I
I
set
think I
that.
turned gaming off. I haven't gotten one in a long, long time.
Yeah.
Which is good because I don't have time for that.
Yeah, I
And
mean,
the
I like gaming, but I don't really care for Facebook games and that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, ones that they have to get you to participate in order to get to a next level or get
Energy, get
points.
energy, or free the free
Yeah.
to play. So, no, my candies are not crushed. I have uncrushed candies
Yeah. Bar
only.
plays Candy Crush.
I know how you can get.
I
Is
think
that.
Dan DiDio is one of her.
Oh, really?
Gets her points every now and then, yeah.
She plays Candy Crush whenever you buy too many comics.
Yeah, no, she does it late at night when I'm passed out. Like, sometimes I'll fall asleep on the couch and I wake up and she's playing Candy Crush.
You wake up and she's crushing your candies.
That's right. She's crushing candies.
Do you fall asleep on the couch a lot?
I go to bed about 10 p.m. every night.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I do fall asleep on the couch, it's usually on Tuesdays when after I'm done podcasting, I pass out on Gotham by Geeks and stay on the couch until Barb goes to bed.
Because she wakes you up.
No, I think I get up on my own, I think.
That could be late, right? She stays up late.
Yeah, 1:30, 1 o'clock on a work night, and then on the weekends it's 2:30.
That's crazy.
Yeah. She doesn't sleep much.
She's a mutant.
But she sleeps like a rock, man. I mean, she's gone when she does sleep.
Yeah, I can't go on that. I need more sleep than that.
No, me too. I need 8 to 9 hours. At
Yeah.
least 7. I'm good on 7.
Yeah, that's about the same for me.
And I'm okay with 6, but that has to only happen like 1 or 2 days a week.
Right, yeah, I mean, I can get by, but I can't do that and just keep doing it. It'll catch up with me if I keep
Yeah.
doing it.
So you're having computer problems?
Not really. For some reason, I tried to open Skype and it opened minimized and like in the tray.
Yeah, I'm having computer problems. I have to be wired to the Ethernet now because the wireless isn't working. But
Really?
I don't think it's hardware. I think it's software somewhere. Like some I had some DLL get corrupt or something.
Do
I'm
you
not
use a
able to bring up certain apps, like certain things that are wireless on the software end.
Yeah, I mean my laptop works okay, except for the fact that for a while now the input for the chargers been messed up.
Yeah.
So I kind of have to like adjust it at an angle to get it to charge. Something about the contact in there is off. I mean, it's probably fixable, but you'd have to, the only thing with that is having to take it all apart,
Yeah.
be a pain. So right now to hold it up at the angle that it needs to be to charge, I actually have my OMAC action figure underneath it, holding it in place. He's
Oh, you
using his
have the same
waist.
OMAC action figure that I do?
I think so. It's like the
I think
DC
there's two
Universe one.
generations of it. Yeah, there's the DC Universe and then the DC Direct.
Yeah, I have like the direct, or not the I have the universe.
Yeah. That's cool.
But yeah, he's helping me out, keep my laptop charged, keep me connected to
His OMACtiv.
Mother Eye. Brother Eye, I mean.
Yeah.
Mother Eye, that's a whole nother thing.
Mother, that's the Valiant universe.
Oh yeah.
The computer in Rye. It used to
Oh,
be
right, yeah.
Mother in
Right.
the old universe.
Yeah. That's true. I have read a couple of those. The original Rye.
So,
Toast.
you want to jump in to talk about some stuff? We hadn't talked about any retro things in quite a while.
Sure.
I almost watched Battlestar Galactica, like the first episode, for just to do something different. But
I didn't prepare like anything to talk about it at length or anything, but I did since the last time we talked, I did finish up the original Star Trek.
oh yeah.
Yeah, I finally got to the end of that, and then I've watched like maybe 5 or 6 episodes of the animated series.
What do you think?
So,
Is the animated series on Netflix?
Netflix. Yep. Yeah. It's definitely old animation,
Yeah,
definitely could
I
tell it's,
watched it, yeah.
yeah, but But
It's
because
like
all the voice actors are
a
there.
lot of still motion with lips moving, right?
Yeah. But the stories, the scripts have been pretty good actually so far. And you got all the voice actors, the regular voice actors, so, or all the regular actors doing the voices, so I'm pretty attached to those characters now, you know. And that's really what made the show for me, even like the episodes that weren't that great.
You
Just
were
had
invested when you started, and now you're a little more vested in the universe and stuff.
with those particular characters and stuff, so we keep on pushing along. The animated series will be won't take as long because there's only 2 seasons and the episodes are like 20 minutes, so
That's short. I didn't know they had that much of commercials back then. It's 10 minutes of commercials.
it's like 22 minutes or something like that. Yeah, it's
But
about
I
the
guess
same
that
as
made
today.
sense. There was a lot of marketing towards kids.
Yeah. But yeah, excuse me. But yeah, that's been enjoyable. Eventually sooner than later I'm looking forward to getting to the movies.
Yeah, I almost did, but for some reason I felt like watching a Flashpoint, which was the animated
Oh
Flashpoint.
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but
No.
you should watch it. It's really good. Really well done.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of the more recent
That could be
animated
like one of my
ones.
favorite animated movies.
Was it better than the actual
Did you read the comic?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it does a really good job of like with the time it has, like trying to build this world where they're, Wonder Woman and Aquaman are at war and they're pretty much destroying everything in the process. And Flash is trying to get his powers back in this world. So he goes to Batman and electrocutes himself twice. The first time he catches fire, burns, and the second time he finally works. And I really like the way they make this Batman. Like it's not Bruce, it's Thomas, But he like loves his son, so he latches on to Barry, knowing that in his world, it's a brighter world, and Bruce is alive. So, yeah, it's a good movie. The animation took me a little bit to get used to because it's almost like a real slender manga style. But other than that, I really liked it. The movie was really good.
Cool.
But I read some Black Hawk comics from I guess these are like the revival. No, these are probably pre-revival when they became 60 Cents. But it's a weird franchise, and I don't know a lot about it. I read a lot of Howard Chaykin Black Hawk in the 80s and 90s, but not a lot of very, very little of the golden or silver age, but they were part of the quality purchase, which is had the freedom fighters and all. But this was a pretty it had a pretty cool Joe Kubert cover. Oh, we should mention that we lost a really cool creator, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Darwin Cook.
One of my favorites.
It was fast. I just found out I had some of my own medical issues going on, so I found out about it like 2 days ago that he had cancer, and then it seemed like it was immediate. His death was announced.
Yeah, I think
Think
they
maybe
must
he was his
have.
publicist and stuff were hiding it until they knew it was the end.
It must have been. I don't think that they said anything about him having cancer that I heard. And then when they announced that he did, they announced that he was entering into palliative care, which is end of life care. I mean, I knew it would only be a matter of time because once you get to that point, they're just making it comfortable.
Yeah.
They've decided at that point that there's nothing else that they can do. So I didn't know that it would basically be that night really, but because sometimes people can stay in that like end of life care for a little while.
Right.
Yeah, so it's, I don't, maybe more details will come out of what type of cancer and when he first started treatment for it. But I mean, he was at Baltimore last year, which was in September, so
And he
I don't know
just
if he.
released, like, maybe 6 months ago, maybe it was 7 months ago, they had the Darwin Cook cover month, where all the variant covers were done by him.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know when he discovered it. Sometimes, there can be a pretty quick turnaround depending on the type of cancer. It could, you could go from not having any symptoms to passing away in a short period of time if it's a certain type of cancer. So
Yeah, it really sucks.
it does. I mean, only 53 years old. I mean, he had a lot of time left and he could have produced a lot of work, but he definitely did leave a lot of great work for to remember him by, and he's definitely one of my favorite artists. I can't get enough of his style. I would always just everything he does just looks beautiful to my eyes.
Yeah.
So
I have all most of his DC stuff. I've
yeah.
never gotten into Parker, but maybe now is a good time. I mean, just to see what he did there.
Yeah, I read the first Parker. I read the book that it was an ad adaptation of also.
Think I've seen movies, but the only one I know about is the Mel Gibson one, Payback. It's a I think it's about the Parker character.
Yeah, it would be a loose adaptation. Kind of take the plot, but not really like play the same character,
Yeah.
They're definitely like noir kind of, not really like detective, but like
I think they did
all.
one with Jason Statham recently, didn't they? Too?
I'm not sure.
I think they did. And I saw that one.
Yeah.
Crime noir heist type things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like in the first one, Parker's a guy who is kind of trying to get back. He's a criminal, but he's trying to get back at the people that screwed him over on a job, kind of thing.
Did he ever do Marvel work? I can't think of stuff.
Off the top of my head, I can't think of anything.
Me neither. I know he did a lot of Spirit, like before they launched like the first wave. He wrote and drew the Spirit, which I have read the first three issues, and I haven't read the rest of it, but I have it.
Yeah, I mean, I know what I was introduced to his work with with Catwoman, the first
Yeah.
four issues of Catwoman. Yeah, I mean, kind of scanning over his stuff, I don't see much.
New
Looks like he.
Frontier is probably like his most, would you say, widely known with the general public?
Yeah. I would say so. It looks like he did a couple stories for Spider-Man's Tangled Web.
Oh, that was like
And
the one. Yeah, I remember that. That was like their independent, creator type spotlight on Spider-Man.
yeah. He actually did the Wolverine Dupe miniseries. It was just two issues that Peter Milligan wrote.
Wolverine dupe?
Yeah.
Huh, I don't even know what that is.
Dupe is that like the guy that looks like Slimer from Ghostbusters
Oh, the
from
X-Force guy.
X-Force?
Yeah, the
Yeah.
yeah, he's always got the camera attached to him or something.
Yeah,
He's
'cause he had actually done prior to that one issue of X-Force. So that was earlier on, not long after he did the Catwoman issues, and then from there on is pretty much DC and his Parker stuff.
IDW, yeah.
Yeah. Some backup stories.
He's done solo. I know they had. Do you remember that? DC used to have like
Yep.
creator spotlights. Comixology is having a Darwin Cook kind of sale. Or DC at least is. I can't get Comixology on my iPad because I have a first generation, and they Comixology is stupid. They told me, well, upgrade your OS. You can't get the latest, but you can get one that will work with the latest. So like I get the latest one for first generation. And then all of my apps start to work, except for Comixology, the people that told me to do it. And they basically said, no, you need the new one. Whereas the other apps, when you go get them from the App Store, they say, well, we can't give you the latest version, but we'll give you the last one that was available for your OS. So, yeah. But there is a sale kind of going on. There's not a lot there, but there's some stuff. Like you need Frontier, you can get the Catwoman. He did some the solos out there. You can get some of his work on Detective Comics, which was like three issues, and there was a few others, a few odds and ends. But yeah, we saw he died way young.
Yeah. Too young.
I never introduced myself or went to a con to talk to him because he always had a quite a line.
Yeah, that's kind of why, even though he's a favorite of mine, I never got around to it at Baltimore, and that's what happens. But I remember Ryan Drost got a chance to meet him.
Oh, you got his new Frontier sign, didn't he?
Yep, yeah. I
He
remember him talking
goes in
about
with a real methodical plan, Ryan. Like he's the complete opposite of me at a con. Like he plans like his day, and I just like go with the flow.
Yeah. Well, you have like certain goals. Like you have a few goals and you kind of take care of them right away.
Yeah.
But it's kind of different. Like you have just usually your goals usually are
Find Andrew
sketches.
Pupoy.
Find just more specifically.
Yes.
That's what we spent like the first half of the day on Friday was try to find Peepoy.
Yeah. So I'll try that again.
Yeah.
Try to get another sketch, but
It's
I've
worth
kind of
it.
like decreased on my sketches just because of the sheer cost. I mean,
Yeah.
when I started doing sketches, I felt it was pretty affordable. You know, I'd spend 30 to $60 a convention sketch. And then it started to get into the 80s and then the 90s. And then once it started to hit the hundreds, I started to think twice about it, you know?
Yeah.
Because it is a risk on your part to give, unless it's somebody you know is going to come through like for you to put out that much cash and then not be happy with something, you know?
Yeah, totally hear you. Don't blame you there.
Yeah. So,
I think almost nowadays, if you don't want to spend a lot of money, then you kind of got to catch artists that are on the coming up, like do your research, look at the art of people that are going to be in like Artist Alley and stuff like that, and try to get sketches from artists before they break out big, you know.
Yeah, that's probably the best bet.
If you don't want to spend a lot of money.
Because you might even be like happily surprised, like with what some of the stuff you could get and the low cost you
Definitely.
can get it for, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's always artists trying to make it, and everybody starts somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
But
So, I was talking about Black Hawk, and this is a I always worry when I say that because it almost sounds like Black Cock, but Black Hawk. Hawk. But
if
this
you hadn't said that, I wouldn't even have thought you were saying anything other than the what you're meaning to say.
I
But now.
remember in a podcast, somebody gave me a lot of shit for pronunciation of Black Hawk. So now I'm aware of it, like consciously aware of it. But it's like a fighter pilot team of people, and like how do they exist outside of World War II? It's kind of hard. And then they've gone through eras where they even had superpowers. Like I haven't read that era yet, but I heard it was horrible. But I absolutely want to read it. I want to read the horrible stuff as well as the good stuff. But this was a 2-issue arc by Steve Skeets with artist George Evans. And it opens up with Hendrickson. I don't know if you're aware of the Blackhawks, but Hendrickson's the old guy. And he's like, from what I can make out, they're all like from around the world. They have a French guy, they have a guy from China, they have a German guy, they have a Russian guy, American. They're from all over the place. It's got Black Hawk, which the main guy, but he has all these pilots that form the Black Hawks. And Hendrickson, Stan, what did you think? Black Hawks?
It just makes it's making me laugh now that you're over, over pronouncing. I could tell you're really trying to not say it wrong. So it sounds funny in a different way.
Yeah. So Olaf, Chuck, Andre, and Chopper. And this one opens up with the old guy is he just landed the plane on Black Hawk Island, coming back for an adventure, and he's getting shot at by another plane. And he almost gets killed, but he sees that there's somebody swimming towards him, and it's his daughter, Elsa. And he's like, "Well, what the hell's happening? Somebody threw her out of the plane and left a message for the Blackhawks." And there's a an island. I can't remember where the island is. Santa Culpa, in Latin America, and there's a person that's trying to get the Blackhawks over there for some reason, and we learn the reason is he's an ex-Blackhawk, and they left him for dead, and he became this guy called Anti-Matter Man or Anti-Man, and he actually has powers, which is unusual, but he traps every single one of them, and this is a two-part adventure where they have to get out of the trap and actually defeat him. And one of the guys, let's see if it's Chuck, I believe, had bonded with this guy, but when he was remembering flashbacks with him, he was a Russian guy, and he was always like tripping him up and doing stuff to him that could potentially kill him in like their adventures. And but he still bonded with him for some reason. It was like his buddy when he was in the Blackhawks. And it was a cool adventure. I really dug it. I dug the art style. It's very Bronze Age, which is one of my favorite time periods. Because every age has its own house style, kind of. Like a lot of people say the 90s, you know, have a certain art style and it's not favorable, but it was its style. It was, things were very stylistic, had a lot of lines, a lot of detail, a lot of pouches. The 70s looked, was an art style that I still like appreciate. But it was a really cool story. I dug it. It was 2 issues. I was glad that I had both issues in hand so I could read them back to back and finish the story arc. And old Olaf has a pretty hot daughter. He does. Just pretty smoking hot.
were those issues that you had picked up recently, or you just happened to decide to?
I think I bought them at, man, when you were at Baltimore, I think. It was either at Baltimore or Heroes of last year.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a few issues of this. I even got some of the super powered issues, and but I haven't read them yet. It's one series that I'd like to complete, at least getting back to, not, I'm not never going to complete the Golden Age stuff, but complete up to when it started back up in the 70s and again go forward. I have all of the Chaykin and then the other mini, the Pascal series. That's the stuff that I'm really familiar with. This stuff, there's always one scene I remember. It's weird in the graphic novel by Chaykin. I don't know why this one always like stands out for me. But Black Hawk goes into this room and he's talking to this guy in an office, and the guy is like making like weird faces, like, and I'm like, what's going on? He has a girl underneath his desk giving him a blowjob while Black Hawk is in the room. I'll never forget that scene though.
Sounds like something from more one of Chaykin's more recent projects.
Yeah. He does do a lot of the risque stuff, and I like it. The what was the last one? Black
Black Kiss? Was
Kiss.
Black Kiss,
Yeah,
yeah.
I haven't read the first one, but I read all of the second one, Black Kiss too. It's weird. It's very weird.
Yeah, I remember you talking about it on Geek Brunch, I think.
He tends to draw really good 40s stuff, like time period pieces. Like he loves that stuff.
Yeah, so he
Like he
seems to
like
like
even
that.
even the what he did with Matt Fraction and that TV Image one, I forget what the title of it was,
Oh
but
yeah, I read the first trade or something like that of that.
yeah,
What was
where
that
TV
called?
was just starting, you know.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah.
Damn.
He does a lot of that. Plus, I remember really fondly there was a Vertigo series that he did very much in the vein of Black Hawk, but it was called American Century.
All
That
right, and
one's really good. That's where like I was like, I love this guy. Like this guy, that's when I like put my eye on and got all of his other stuff. 'Cause I that book hooked me.
Satellite Sam,
Yeah, that's the
the
book.
Image one. I think I just read the first trade of that. Well, I'm all about the team ups today.
All right.
So my first one is Marvel 2-in-1, issue 64, which features the Thing and Stingray.
You know what's weird about that is I have been on a like I just talked about this on one of my Mike M's weekly reads, is I don't usually get a lot of Marvel back issues, but I'm going on this thing, the Thing in Marvel 2-in-1 to fill those issues in.
Oh, really?
So it's like you always bring up something that's kind of on my radar.
Yeah, we're just we're
Yeah.
synced in like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, this one jumped out at me. I was just looking at the issues that were available on Marvel Unlimited and Marvel 2-in-1. This one jumped out at me because Stingray is kind of an obscure character, and I remember, but he was an issue of Avengers that I had when I was growing up, and I always thought the costume was kind of interesting looking. And this is definitely like an earlier story. But interesting creative team, because George Perez is the artist, and it was written by Mark Gruenwald and Ralph Macchio. And it's got some interesting, in addition to Stingray, it's got some interesting characters, but it actually opens with a prologue that has Ben talking to Alicia Masters, and this is kind of when they're breaking up, and because pretty much because Ben is concerned with the risks that she's been kidnapped by the Sandman recently, and other stuff has happened, that he's just afraid for what's going to happen to her. And although he says it's because he cares about her, she's upset and just tells him to leave. And he's frustrated by how things are going, or how things went with that. So he goes back to the Baxter Building, and he wants to talk to Reed, just like man to man, about what's going on. But he doesn't get a chance to, because a man named Dr. Henry Croft arrives, escorted by Walter Newell, who's from the Pacifica Institute of Oceanography. And this Dr. Croft that's with him, he's actually dressed kind of similar to the way that the Thing does when he goes out on the street with the trench coat and the hat and stuff. But the reason that he is dressed like that is because he has green scaly skin, like he's amphibian. And it turns out that this kind of ties into an issue of Submariner, issue 61, when this doctor was on a flight that was hydjacked, taken to Hydro Base, and that's where they were exposed to gas by this villain called Dr. Hydro. And this gas gave them skin like Dr. Hydro himself has, the green scaly skin. And Submariner defeated Dr. Hydro, but he was unable to help all these passengers turn themselves back. So that's when this Walter Newell got involved, and being that he's interested in oceanography and everything, and how that ties in. And Newell himself actually is Stingray, and he tells that to Reed and Ben, and talks about how there's actually a similarity in the way that Hydro and the people that he converted look to the inhuman Triton. They know of the connection of the Fantastic Four to the Inhumans, and were wondering if, because of that, because of Reed's background and stuff, that they might be able to help. So Ben's like, "All right, well, I guess I'm not gonna get a chance to talk to Reed now that these people are here. So I guess I'm just gonna have to go to the gym." And sorry. Trying to get rid of this scratch in my throat by sipping water. It wasn't working.
And then I went to go drink it down the wrong pipe.
Yeah. But so at the gym, there's like this, it's just interesting to me how this issue of like of this team up series has ties to so many other things going on in the Marvel universe at the time. Because at the gym there's a woman named Thundra who is connected to this thing called Project Pegasus.
I love that character.
Yeah, she's pretty interesting
She's awesome.
looking. Yeah, she's like
She's from that world of all women, like kind of like an Amazonian.
oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. And that's actually like when on a world where all the men fight all the women. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
It's interesting how even though this is kind of a team up title, it has its own ongoing plot lines. You know, like they work Stingray into the ongoing story, you know, and it's got its story for this issue, but there's also some plot lines that are going through the title itself, and she's apparently been she's helping out with Ben for Ben and this Project Pegasus to try to get information on the on her former employers. So she's going to this gym and she's been working in a group of female wrestlers, and she did some wrestling against Titania, and so she gets there and there's this guy Haystack, and this little guy named Herkimer Oglethorpe that she goes to talk to. But then Hyperion, who you know came kind of back into Marvel Universe, shows up and kind of seems like he's going to challenge her. Meanwhile, there's this guy called the Aquarian that's wandering down the road, a country road at night,
That's that
and
hippie looking guy, right?
yeah, he's like
With
got long
white blue.
hair, white and blue costume. He's like wandering down the street, and then he stops this car from hitting a deer that's walking through. So all I can tell from this is that it's or that a deer is going across the street, stops a car from hitting it, and all I can tell is this is just kind of like planting in another subplot that's going on. But finally we get back to Ben, and Reed wakes him up because he dozed off, and he wants to send Ben to meet Triton from the Inhumans on the coast of California, because Reed's got other stuff that he's got to do. So Ben takes the Fantastic Four's pogo plane with Dr. Newell and the guy that's turned into the amphibian out there. And this actually is at the point where we get the actual title page of the story. And it's part one of a story called The Serpent Crown Affair. But Stingray finally suits up, and they dive into the water. Stingray is actually able to act as kind of a flotation device for the thing. So it's like, the Silver Surfer ain't got nothing on me. So as they investigate things further, they eventually come across this oil rig, and Thing has to kind of stay in place, to keep the rig from falling apart. And things kind of get more mysterious because the guys that are working on the oil rig are acting strange, start attacking Thing, while Stingray goes under water to try to investigate what caused the explosion that caused the rig to start to collapse, and some men in scuba gear in a like sort of underwater little personal vehicle come after him. So they're individually kind of dealing with their own issues. And they haven't been able to find Triton yet at this point. And it all seems like they're getting involved in something a lot bigger than they were expecting. When on the last page, all of a sudden the new Serpent Squad show up. Anaconda, Black Mamba, Death Adder, and Sidewinder. And it says that the next Triton will join in the next issue, and he's actually the one of the reasons they might have kept him out was because he's actually like the team up character for the following issue. So it really kind of, despite being a team up issue, it really kind of carries into the next issue. And I was surprised by how much it kind of not only is its own continuing story, but also ties into a lot of other stuff going in on in the Marvel Universe at the time. But suffice to say, I mean, obviously the art by George Perez is definitely good. And yeah, I mean, even though Stingray is not a character that's been used a lot, I just think his costume has like an interesting, attractive look.
It looks weird for aquatic, though.
That's
I
true.
mean,
Doesn't really associate, you wouldn't really necessarily associate it with the aquatic.
I guess the red, it almost associates with flying and stuff.
Yeah, which he also can do.
Yeah.
But just one of those kind of like lesser known Marvel characters you see, and actually they're kind of like all over this issue with the Aquarian and Titania, and you know, I could say that, I mean, it's not real clear like the subplots. The Thundra one, they do give you some idea what's going on with that, and it's if you read a lot of comics, it's clear it's a subplot that's going on. With the Aquarian, you know, it's really not clear why that's there, but it's only one page, so definitely kind of a classic sort of 80s style comic.
Yeah. Well, I love the Serpent Squad, the Serpent Society. That those are my favorite, some of my favorite characters, mostly from Cap, though. Sounds like a lot of going on, though. Like, there was a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, my next one is Valor. So this is a guy that looks a lot like Mon-El. He's a Daxamite. So he spawned out of, I think, after the Eclipso event. I don't know if you ever heard of the Eclipso event, but they
Yeah, I
had
know of it.
a one shot, maybe it was two shot, where the gimmick on the cover was it actually had a diamond
Yeah.
that came out of the cover, and this kind of spawned out of it, and it continues right after. Like, it's like a jarring first issue if you haven't read Eclipso, because it starts right after that event. Matter of fact, a lot has to do with it. It was written by Robert Lauren Fleming, and the penciler is M.D. Bright. And Eddie Braganza, huh? He was the assistant editor back then. And he's under a lot of news lately.
Yeah.
This was in 92. He's the group editor for the Superman books right now.
Right.
So this is Valor. He's seeing a psychiatrist. I don't know exactly why, but she keeps on showing him the Rorschach pictures, and he's kind of answering things like, "Oh, it's a butterfly," no matter how she represents it. She just keeps answering that. But when he really is thinking about it, it's his father, And then he's getting flashbacks of his war with Eclipso. And he used to play this game. It was like chess with his father, and I guess that was the only time that he would ever see his father, is his father would come back down from work or whatever, play this game with his son every year or once or twice a year, and then his son would l learn this game. It was called Paragon. And one year the son beat the father, and before he could actually finish the game, kind of like checkpoint, the father left. Like, he didn't want to acknowledge he was losing and took off and never came back again. So that's what you got out of this weird psychological evaluation. And you find out that this psychiatrist is working for Lex Luthor. And if you remember at this time period, Lex Luthor was a skinny dude with red hair and a beard. And he had an assistant called Matrix, which was Supergirl. And Valor decides to go to the moon to look for Eclipso, and actually runs into more Eclipso people and tries to defeat them. And Luthor has a plan of his own. Like, he's going to manipulate Valor with Supergirl, because he sends Supergirl at the end of the issue after Valor. And I remember fondly, like, really liking this series when it originally came out. It wasn't like a really good first issue, though. But I do want to reread it at some point, reread the whole series. But it was good stuff. And you know, their weakness to is not kryptonite, it's lead. So it's a little more common substance than you could find when you have kryptonite. But he has all the capabilities that like a Superman would have.
And that's Valor, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. That then, he wasn't around really for that long, right?
No, and I can't remember how it ended, to tell you the truth. It wasn't a long, well, it was long in terms of today. But in terms of that time, it wasn't a long-running series.
Interesting.
It ran 23 issues and led right into Zero Hour, and that's when it ended. But if you think about the writers it had Robert Loren Fleming, which is he's pretty well known. Mark Waid wrote quite a few of them, and then Kurt Busiek finished the series off. So on art you had M.D. Bright, Jeffrey Moore, Paris Collins, and Colleen Doran. So you know, you had a pretty good creative team. Ran from 1992 to 1994, and his name is Lar Gand. He came out of the Invasion series, so that's weird that I'm reading the next book I choose is out of the Invasion series too. That's coincidental. It wasn't purpose. I didn't do it on purpose.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's always, it's funny how there's, we usually end up with weird connections between things without even trying.
Why
Just shows you how everything's connected.
did Valor show up in Marvel 2-in-1?
No.
No.
That would be very surprising. Well, I don't know if there's any direct connections with this one, but we may find out there is. but I read another issue of Brave and the Bold. My sort of beat up copy of issue 104. I'm pretty sure I haven't talked about this one. I know that I've talked about it between the two of us. We've talked about a number of issues of Brave and the Bold on the show over the years. This is a 20-cent issue, and it's Batman and Dead Man, called Second Chance for a Dead Man. And of course, this is the Jim Aparo and Bob Haney era. And I found this was an interesting team up because Deadman is not your traditional superhero, you know. But it actually opens up with Batman and Commissioner Gordon and the Gotham Police are trying to deal with stolen car rings are outside of Ace Auto Repair and Body Shop, and there's gunfire going back and forth between both sides. And Batman actually picks up a gun, of all things, and jumps out and he runs into the fray. He's actually firing the weapon and charging the criminals in the body shop. There's a car on fire, so they're actually expecting him to shoot him when he comes around the burning vehicle that's on its side, but he actually surprises them by leaping over it, and they can't make him out in the snow, in the in all the smoke. So he's actually able to get close to them, and then one of the guys, the criminals all have gas masks on. One of them does this kind of strange move where he drops his left leg in sort of an awkward manner and shoots low with his with the gun in his left hand, goes over top of Batman's head, and then he gets the guy shooting at him gets shot from Commissioner Gordon. And you know, just so Batman can kind of keep his reputation he's supposed to have at the time, through their dialogue afterwards, we're informed that it's actually the weapon that he had was loaded with blanks. So when he was shooting it, he was just kind of shooting it at the ground as a distraction as he was running in. But on top of that, they weren't even real bullets. But it's interesting that Commissioner Gordon criticizes him for his. He says, "How can you hold such an idiotic code against today's criminals, vicious, unprincipled snakes?" You know, he doesn't seem to really agree with Batman's policies. But anyway, the guy that did the sort of funny move and got shot, I identify him as a criminal named Waxy Doyle. At least Batman identifies in. Gordon says there's no way that it's him. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't steal cars and doesn't even look like him. And but Batman says the only
Sounds
guy
like
that's
there's some playing going on back there.
yeah, actually Mabel or Kara just came and got Mabel and told her or to take her out to the bathroom.
Oh.
So she was. She jumped off the couch and went running down the stairs.
Has
But
she changed? Has she changed? Not to change the topic, but
that's okay.
has she changed at all, or is she still?
She's been a little bit better. I mean, she always goes for a walk around the block in the morning. And sometimes she'll go for. But she likes the backyard. She likes the A lot of times she likes to just kind of walk around and explore back there and doesn't want to go for the walk, but
Is she skittish still or no?
kinda. She's not like she got better and then she got worse and then she's gotten better again. But she definitely, I mean, she definitely has some issues there, you know.
Being on the
But
streets.
yeah, but she's good. I mean, she's coming along.
Good.
So,
And the
but
cat, how's the cat doing?
he's the cat. Same as usual.
Well, I think the last time we talked, though, you said he was having some eating things going on.
Yeah, well, he's constantly
Eating
bothering us
issues.
when we have, like, he's always trying to eat. You know, he's always trying to eat our food when we're eating and like won't leave us alone. He'll go in the sink and like try to eat like stuff off of plates in the sink and stuff like that. But And so we did have a bunch of
You had it
work up.
taken him to the vet, yeah, or something.
Yeah, and he checked out fine and everything, so he's just a jerk.
He's just hungry.
I know, we're feeding him. I don't know what the hell's wrong with him, but right now it's downtime for him. Man, he started like meowing and bothering us at like 6 a.m. this morning for breakfast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, normally he eats at like 6:30 during the week. We get up at 6:30. Of course, he doesn't know it's the weekend, and he starts even earlier than 6:30. But anyways, Batman, he's convinced that it's Waxy Doyle because the only other person that's ever tried to do that weird left-handed kneeling gun switch on him was Waxy Doyle. He's just convinced, and Gordon says that Doyle's vanished. And people think he was killed in the gang war. There's no way it was him. But they go to the morgue, and after the mortician looks him over and stuff, or the medical examiner or whatever, turns out the corpse had hair implants, his dental work rebuilt, and his face had a facelift and like plastic surgery and everything like that. His ear shapes were changed. He had contact lenses in. So once he like reversed a lot of that work, they're able to identify that it was that it in fact is Waxy Doyle, but just was given like a total workover. And Batman says
That
that, you
sounds
know,
like somebody out of the spirit,
yeah,
Waxy Doyle.
I know. Definitely a criminal name, like or like Dick Tracy or something. So seems like that there's been some other cases where criminals have been made over into other people, and not just counterfeit, where they don't actually just have c counterfeit identification and stuff, but they actually have stolen real stuff from other people. And the only clue that they have is this they found this matchbook for the Pygmalion spot in Cornucopia, Florida. So Bruce Wayne heads there under disguise, of course, and everyone's like, "What are you doing here at this place for people getting back in shape? You're in great shape yourself." It's like, "I just need a vacation." And but there's like this secret part of the island that nobody can go to, and so he tries sneaking in, gets caught, and plays it up like he was drinking. And they're like, "Well, you're not supposed to be drinking here. This is a place for you to get healthy. You're gonna have to leave." He's like, "Well, I know it." So at this point, Bruce Wayne knows he's messed things up, so he decides to put a ad in the paper. It's like his secret way of contacting Dead Man. "If you wear the brand of being from Boston and want to bat 1,000 in my league, contact me." So Dead Man goes in to help, and basically Dead Man takes over the body of one of the two. There's this couple that runs the resort basically, and he takes over the male's body, and he does his investigation. Sure enough, he finds out, you know, that they're running this secret business where criminals can have their whole body reworked and given the identity of a dead person or something. But the problem is that Dead Man ends up falling in love with the woman, and she's happy because apparently he's acting a lot nicer than the guy normally does. And Batman's pissed because Dead Man is like, "Well, why don't we, you know, kind of let her off the hook?" Or he's trying to find some way that he could continue to have this love with this woman in this guy's body. And Batman's like, not gonna cut him any slack. You know, Batman, he wants everyone to face the justice that they deserve. And so it's interesting because it's a team up, but Dead Man like isn't really cooperating, you know, so the help that he calls in kind of backfires, because Dead Man has his own agenda and he's not just like cooperating, and it's just not a team up in the sense that you normally see. Dead Man believes there's, you know, a bit with Ram Krishna that he communicates with, and he believes that this message that Ramakrishna gave him that means that he's going to be able to find true love, or even if the woman dies, that she'll become a spirit like him. That's at least how he interpreted the message from Ramakrishna. But so Dead Man actually, in the body of the guy, he actually shoots the woman. He's like, "I had to do it to save you. Now you'll be mine forever." And then, but then she dies for real. And so the story ends with Dead Man in a pretty bad situation. He's frustrated that she's really dead, and you know, I'll never forget this Lily, this woman. So it's kind of a dark ending for Dead Man, an interesting team up that doesn't really go the traditional way. For the most part, you know, not real zany heiny kind of situation, pretty straightforward story. I mean, at first I thought there was a section where Batman had his Bruce Wayne has his identity reworked, but it turned out they just kind of gave him like I thought they had given him plastic surgery and that he was going to have it reworked, and then they never got around to that. But it turns out that they had actually just, when I looked back at it, it was just that they kind of did a quick rush job on him because they needed to get him out of there. So it made sense as well. But yeah, pretty entertaining issue since it wasn't just your typical superhero team up.
Yeah, I always like those team ups. And plus, Dead Man's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it kind of makes things interesting. It's not your traditional superhero. Not just in his powers being different, but, you know, his
He has a
agenda.
lot of wit. And I don't know, that it depends on where you read him, but
Yeah.
a lot of times he has like the Peter Parker sarcasm kind of thing. Like he's got like a sarcasm mannerism to him. I mean, he had the if you read Dead Man, I'd highly recommend the Kelly Jones stuff, the deluxe formatted stuff. Oh, they're so good.
Okay.
They're really
Yeah, I
good
never read
stuff,
those
yeah.
ones.
So my next book is Legion 89, which also came out of Invasion. I think his name is Gavin Beck, Lylorna Mylor. She's like the Shadow Lass from that world. Strata, Block, and Adrenaline. And their first appearance was in Invasion. And Invasion kicked off, you know, with Todd McFarlane. And it launched several books. This one was written by Giffen and Alan Grant. Alan Grant is done a lot with this particular franchise. It lasted a long time. It went like Legion 89, 90, 91, 92 or something like that, and then turned into Rebels at around 0 year, 0 hour with Rebels number 0, and then Rebels had a few years, and even prior to the New 52, Rebels had a series by, I think it was Tony Bedard, which was amazing. But one thing that if you start reading the series, you'll be like hooked in is the characterization of these characters, like Vril Dox. He is the second. His father is Brainiac essentially, and he after they escaped the invasion was kind of like the all the alien races invading Earth. And the Dominators, and you know, the Dominators have the big heads, the Cuds. Recently, a Cud alien appeared on the Supergirl TV show, which was kind of interesting. There were several other alien races, and there was a prison satellite that they had to break out of, and that's where all these guys met. And when they broke out of prison, Vril Doc said, "All I need you guys to do is drop me off on my planet of Kalu." But he has like all these alternative motives. He is using this as his team to land on Kalu and try to take over their society because of what they did to him and his father. And he's using this team. Like one of the guys that is pretty humorous in the series is the Beck guy. He is a pilot and has no powers, but he's a pivotal member of this group from the beginning. And then you have the Shadowlass character, which I just coincidentally bought the first appearance of Shadowlass, and I didn't even know it was until I entered it into the database. But which was in Adventure Comics. It has a Duralyn Strata. The series turns into, like, man, it's so convoluted and awesome. Vril Dox actually has a son with Strata, which is the one female. And that son actually turns into the boss of Legion, which goes after his father, Vril Dox, when he becomes a rebel. So it's like crazy. And you just form this bond. In this particular issue, you learned a lot about Kalu and their computerized society, how they're assimilated very much, and people are used, and they can't form opinions of their own, and that's why Brainiac became the way he is, as he started to think for himself, and he had this son, and they treated him badly because of they tried to absorb him or assimilate him, and he just wouldn't assimilate because of his father, because of the programming his father had put into him. But it's a really cool series, and this they end up crash landing on the planet, and it looks like it ends on a cliffhanger where they actually they get imprisoned. You get a lot of backstory about Vril Dox's father, and one of the Duralyn, the shapeshifter, actually frees them from their cells, but then there's a huge explosion at the end of the issue, which thinks that at the end of the issue you think they all died, but we know they didn't. It's issue one. But a really cool comic book. I really love it. It's good cool stuff.
All right. I'll do my last one. I'll try to be more less long-winded. And this one is back to Marvel, a Marvel team-up, issue 67. And team-up, of course, is Spider-Man, and in this case, the team-up character is Tigra, or Tigra, depending on how you say it. And this is actually Chris Claremont and John Byrne, actually. A story called Tigra, Tigra, Burning Bright, off of the, I think, William Blake poem. And it starts out with Spidey web swinging through the city, and he his spider sense goes off. He sees a shadowy figure on a rooftop, and he drops down and around, and kind of doubles back, climbs up the backside of the building, and thinks that he's going to get the jump on the guy from behind, when the figure does an uppercut and catches him in the chin right before Spidey lands on him. It turns out to be Kraven the Hunter. We're not as surprised as Spidey is because Kraven is on the cover, but they have a bit of a fight for a couple pages when Spidey thinks that Kraven missed his punch, but in fact he was just getting his fist nearby so he could fire these dozens of darts out of this thing on his wrist. And it's all full of neural poison to knock him out. He wakes up. He's in chains and in Craven's home. And Craven has got Tigra next to him. And apparently, Spidey recognizes Tigra from seeing her in the Bugle files. And he knows that she's worked with the Fantastic Four, and apparently that was in issues 177 through 183. Well, somehow Kraven's got Tigra under his control, and so he has her attack Spidey. Spidey kind of has to fight her while he's caught up in chains, and he manages kind of. She's trying to kill him, but he knows something's going on, so he's trying not to hurt her. And this fight goes on for several pages where Spidey's trying to survive but not hurt her. And while this fight's going on, eventually he gets a glimpse at the collar around her neck, and the fight has caused it to kind of get roughed up a bit, and he can see that there's circuitry in it, and that there's some kind of something going on there. So he's like, "Well, it might not be anything, but I'll see what I got. Nothing to lose." So he rips the collar off of her, and as soon as he does, she goes ape shit on Kraven, because she goes back to her. She gets her mind back and knows that he's had her under control. Kraven manages to escape. Using some gas, and we get a flashback to what happened, and how Kraven managed to capture as explained. But
You know what? This sounds so familiar to me because I covered it.
you did
Yeah.
on this show.
I covered it somewhere. But I was like, man, it's like I read this yesterday. I was like,
I'll have to
where
check
did this
back.
happen?
I checked the Brave and the Bold because I wanted to make sure we didn't cover it, and I didn't even think to check this. That's funny. I'll have to look. Well, if that's the case, and if the listeners remember it as well, I apologize. Apparently, I wasn't paying attention. But so yeah, there's this kind of weird sequence because there happens to have been. This place that they're at, there happens to have been a refuge for animals that got closed down, and the wild animals are still there. So obviously, Kraven uses that to his advantage. And but Spidey makes a like a baseball of webs in his fist and throws it and hits Kraven in the back of the head, knocks him out. But unfortunately, Spider-Man falls off the elephant that he's on and gets. Trampled a bit under the stampede, but fortunately he's okay. And they're in the middle of talking, like Tigra's checking him out, checking Spider-Man out, make sure he's okay and everything, no broken bones and all that. And it seems to be kind of like a light ending, but Kraven's actually up again, sneaking up behind him. He's about to like he's got these like tusk like daggers in his hands. He's about to stab Spidey, and then but he forgot or doesn't remember. That's the same thing. That Spidey has a Spidey sense, so Spidey turns around, punches him in the stomach. Sit on it, Kraven. Like you think you'd know by now how hard it is to sneak up on someone who has a handy dandy 100% guaranteed spider sense. So, and that's the end of that. So, that one was more, a little bit more, just like you're done in one, didn't have ties into other stories before or after it, which I think was kind of the case with Marvel Team Up. But of course, Spidey has his other books that he was in, whereas the Thing, I mean, he's a part of the Fantastic Four, but it was kind of his solo series. So, that might be part of the reason why, but. But yeah, the art was obviously really good. I love that era, John Byrne, Dave Hunt inks. So it's a pleasure to look at. Now want to figure out if you actually covered it before. I can direct people to what episode to listen to your take on the
I don't know. I don't know what issue. I don't know if I could search the site. I never tried it. Search Marvel. I'll try it. Team.
Actually, I just did it. What issue was I just talking about? So, yep, you talked about it, episode 50.
Yeah,
God.
so I knew it sounded familiar, but I didn't remember. I was like, did I read Marvel Chiller? Because I know like Marvel Chillers had a lot of Tigra Solar stories, and I
Yeah.
was like, well, man, I remember reading those too. And I was like, man, this story, I wonder if they just like kind of like redid it because it was Kraven, you know, and he was capturing. But once you put the collar in there and you started talking about the collar, I was like, man, this sounds really, really familiar. I like that character a lot. That's why
Yeah.
I was
Well, at
two
least I'm not.
characters you mentioned I like a lot, like Tigra. I say Tigra because it sounds more like tiger, I guess. Tigra sounds more like something you wear, like I'm gonna get La Tigra or I'm gonna get a t-shirt or something. But there's two characters you mentioned. That was one that I like a lot, and the other one I like is the one Thunder. What's her name? Thundra.
Yeah.
She appeared a lot in like Fantastic Four and stuff, and now she's appearing, but I haven't read yet the Squadron Supreme. But I'm looking forward to reading them because I've always liked that character. She's like the Marvel Amazon woman. And you know how
Right.
much I like Wonder Woman, so it's just natural I'd like the analog or
Right,
the other
yeah.
side, yeah.
Well, at least I didn't cover an issue that I've already talked about before. That'd be really bad. Or one that you talked about last episode or something. It has been a while though.
Well, it's been a long time since we recorded.
Right. Yeah.
So, I only want to mention one other book, and I'm going to do it at a real high level, but I'm
Sure.
surprised how much I'm enjoying it because it's very, I guess, 90s stylized, but I'm becoming infatuated again with Captain Atom. Like, I just think he's amazing. Like, he had his own Kerry Bates series, and then I started reading Extreme Justice again, which was Captain Atom, Blue Beetle, Booster Gold, Maxima, and Amazing Man, which is kind of a weird situation of heroes. They're looking for like a base of operations, and they find this place called Mount Thunder, and it's supposed to be deserted, but there's like a government agency still working in there, and they're attacking them. But what's really interesting about this is the fact that Booster is having heart problems, so he's like Tony Stark. You know, his armor is helping keeping his heartbeat. That's what's amazing is that Booster Gold was like Tony Stark,
Oh,
not in terms of inventiveness, but in terms of using the armor to try to keep his heart beating. And Booster helped develop that, and Captain Atom is the leader. But the other fascinating is that Ronnie Raymond, who is not a member, is part of the side story, and he's dying of cancer from all the nuclear stuff he's been exposed to over the years. And what I really liked about issue one was some simple banter was Ronnie Raymond was going to try to find the Justice League. I guess it was Justice League Europe headquarters. Either that or it was their headquarters in America. And it's decimated. Like it was like Avengers Mansion, but it was just leveled. There was nothing there. But he runs across Oberon, which is really weird. Oberon and Skeets, where Skeets is still looking for Booster. I just found that like really interesting. But yeah, I was starting to read Extreme Justice, which I think that one might have come out of Zero Hour too, because it was a zero issue. So seems like I'm reading a lot of stuff that's around the Zero Hour or
Yeah,
the
it
Invasion
does.
time frame. So yeah, that was some cool stuff. Is there anything else you wanted to mention?
No, just those. I got those three.
Cool.
That's it for this time. So hopefully it won't be too long before we can try to get on the schedule again
We
here.
gotta try to do at least one or two more before we leave
Yeah,
for
try
the
to.
trip. Yeah.
Where our schedules would be more synchronized.
Yeah, and if other days work for you, you can let me know.
Okay. Yeah, we'll try to get a couple more in before we hit
How's your
the
you uh
streets.
you took a break from the last time we talked. You took a break from your other podcast to do some writing. Is that going on, or is it did you find not the time to do that?
Yeah, it has been. It has been going on. It has been going slowly. It's kind of like developing the habit again,
Yeah.
of doing something creative. And so, I've been doing it consistently, but it's been kind of going slowly. And I'm still working on getting the habit where I would like it to. I have been actually considering, though. Doing the Flash podcast again, just because of the time that's passed, the 6 months or so, I realize like how I quantify that free time.
Yeah.
I can kind of treat it as like a separate category. Might not make sense to anyone except for in my own head, but if it's not taken away from time that I would do something creative. If it's just taken away from time that I watch TV or something, then I can do both, It kind of makes sense in my head at least, but so yeah, so that's a possibility. But yeah, I mean I think it's something I'm gonna keep doing. But it seems like it's maybe gonna take longer than I was thinking initially, and probably be a while before I have anything to show. But if I do the solo podcast, it does give me a chance to have something to put out there and share,
Yeah.
with other people in the meantime. So, yeah, thanks for asking about it.
So you can reach us at geekbrunchpodcast.com and on Facebook at Geek Brunch Podcast, at MythMakingETC on the Twitters, and at Mike Myers Brunch. MythMakingETC@gmail.com, right? It's been a long time since we've done this.
I know. I feel like I'm kind of rusty this episode.
And Mike at comicbooknoise.com. Yeah, a lot has happened. We haven't been able to record because either I've been doing a lot of business travel,
Yeah.
and then when I come back, you have an event or something going on,
Right.
and then I've had medical stuff going on and all kinds of crazy ass shit happening and birthday parties to go to, and it just seems like I haven't had time to like chill, you know?
Right.
So
Yeah, so hopefully that'll change.
yeah, hopefully. I hope so.
Yeah.
All right, well I think that's all our contact stuff. Mike at comicbooknoise.com, that's my email. And leave an iTunes review if you get a chance, and hopefully we'll be on some sort of schedule. I mean, we got Heroes Con coming up. I know we're not going to record that weekend, but hopefully we'll be able to get on some kind of monthly or biweekly schedule again,
Yeah.
that we were on before.
I'm hopeful.
Yep.
I think well.
All right.
I'll
Well,
talk to you soon, I hope.
take
All
care. Say hi to everybody and enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
right, you too, buddy.
Take care. Bye.
All right, bye.